This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05 on this Wednesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. Thanks for being with us. I'm Cisco Cotto.
I'm Chris Kreidel. A blustery afternoon ahead, a high temperature of 42, currently 39 degrees. We'll have the five-day forecast coming up.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, the news is very good. The Dow up 372 points or 1.5%, moving above 26,000 now. NASDAQ gaining 159 points or more than 2%, moving above 7,500. And the S&P on the advance by 44 and at the 2,800 level. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index up more than 1%. The midterm election results are helping for the most part. Healthcare stocks are rising because of what a gridlocked House and Senate most likely won't do, repeal Obamacare or implement Medicare for all. Another winner today, tech companies, Apple, chipmaker, AMD, and more depend on China for its manufacturing and large number of customers. Those stocks are rising on speculation the incoming Democratic majority in the House will temper the White House trade rhetoric on China. Now, where investors do see a potential downside is for bankers. Those in the banking industry are seeing mixed results today. Banks might face more scrutiny from Democratic lawmakers. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, the markets react to yesterday's midterms. We'll check that and also discuss the Chicago angle.
Facebook says it helped to stop some election meddling. Also, Personal Finance Wednesday, how to very quickly boost your credit score, especially if you're looking to buy a house. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, the state of Illinois has new leadership. The victory of J.B. Pritzker over Governor Rauner. We'll discuss the impact of the local elections on a state economy during our next segment. Right now, though, there's been a shift in the congressional power structure following the midterm vote. Let's explore the potential longer-term effect on the markets with Paul Nolte, portfolio manager at Kingsview Asset Management here in Chicago. What's your read, Paul?
To be honest with you, it was pretty much status quo in the fact that this outcome was, I think, pretty well expected, unlike past elections. So I think the markets are reacting to the fact that it's finally over and we can now move on to looking at earnings, looking at the economy, and looking at the Fed meeting later on that's occurring today and tomorrow. And as we get into year end. So I don't think there were too many surprises in the election. And I think what we're seeing is really a relief rally that there weren't any surprises with the outcomes.
Taking a look at the two parties and what they've worked on in Illinois, what would you expect might be a good investment?
I think it's still the markets to us still look a little bit on the expensive side. I think they're getting a little bit ahead of themselves in the anticipation that gridlock here is going to be a good thing. So we still want to be looking at a little bit more defensive parts of the market. So the consumer staples to us look good. Healthcare is getting a big kick today, and I think still looks pretty good. The banking sector, I think, is still good, but is struggling here as interest rates or the fear of additional legislation against the banking sector might be in the offing with a Democratic House.
Do you expect it to, now you have obviously Democrats in charge of the House, Republicans, the Senate, and the White House. Do you expect that we will have gridlock? And if so, is that something that Wall Street welcomes?
Historically, Wall Street has welcomed gridlock because it tampers down one party doing a lot of different things, whether good or bad, in the economy. I think it's going to be a while before we kind of see how this really shakes out. There's certainly a lot of stories floating around about what the Democrats may do, but they're going to have their hands tied because they do not have full control of both houses. So it's going to take some time, I think, before we're able to really see the impacts. Certainly trade is all on Trump's desk right now. Congress has kind of walked away from that. So I think the trade issues with China are still going to come down to what they decide between Trump and Xi, at least starting at the G20 later this month.
Any concern on Wall Street about just being tied up in investigations now that you have different people in charge of committees with subpoena power?
That is very possible, and again, that will detract, I think, from the overall economic growth. But I think at least for the next year or so, there's been enough of a solid foundation underneath the economy that we can go on as things are occurring. We anticipate the Fed to raise rates here a little bit, and I think really that's more the risk than it is politics. The risk in the market, I think, are going to be higher interest rates. So depending on really the focus should be more on the Fed, I think, than on Congress.
In fact, the Fed is in a two-day meeting right now and will make a policy announcement tomorrow. What would you expect? Do you think that that there's going to be reaction there to what happened this week, yesterday?
I think there'd be some reaction to it, only because everybody's going to be going through the press release and seeing what changes in wording get made from the last meeting, and hopefully get some idea of what the Fed is looking at going forward. The anticipation is no rate increase tomorrow. We'll get one in December. The expectations are for two more next year. And I think that's really what everybody's going to be parsing through, is that language to determine if it's one, two, or if the Fed thinks they might be on hold later in 2019.
You've already touched on this, earnings and the continued good earnings. That's really what Wall Street's looking for, right?
It is, and that's really what drives the markets over the long term. The short run, the day-to-day news flow can bounce stocks around, but the longer term is really based on what we're seeing in the earnings picture. The earnings rates have slowed down a little bit from the very fast pace of the first half of the year, but they're still at a pretty good clip. Markets are a little expensive in our view, so we would expect the markets maybe to bounce around a little bit more over the next month or two before starting another leg potentially higher in 2019.
Thanks for joining us today. Paul Nolte is portfolio manager at Kingsview Asset Management here in Chicago.
Still to come, a look at the picture in Illinois after last night's elections. What could it mean for the business and the economy in the Chicago area?
Money Talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
J.B. Pritzker will take over as governor in January, becoming leader of a state that's dealing with some serious economic issues. Let's discuss what could lie ahead with Greg Hines, columnist on Crain's Chicago Business. Greg, appreciated you being with us last night on our election coverage, and good to have you back here again this afternoon. You have not only J.B. Pritzker as governor, but you have Democrats in control of both the House and the Senate. In theory here, can Pritzker get past pretty much whatever he wants to get past?
In theory, yes, but there's going to have to be some negotiation and some wheeling and some trading of favors and kissings of rings and so forth. What I'm going to keep an eye on is the relationship between Mike Madigan and Pritzker. In the Republican, the way Bruce Schrauner spun this is that Pritzker was a wholly owned subsidiary of Mike Madigan Inc. The reality is a little bit different, I think. The speaker has a long habit of holding governors of both parties to what he wants, particularly on fiscal issues, where he doesn't like to do things that like raise taxes without Republican buy-in. That's significant because at the top of Pritzker's list has got to be getting a constitutional amendment for the graduate income tax. It's the main thing he talked about for the last year. But whether Madigan is going to cooperate in doing that is uncertain. Now, will help. One of the things that hasn't gotten much coverage yet, because it just happened, is that it's now apparent that Madigan did gain enough seats in the House, probably at least six, as I count them, to have a so-called supermajority. To present the amendment, you need to have a certain number of votes in the House, 71 rather than the usual 59. And in this case, there are now more than that number of Democrats who will be in the House, so that may make his path a little bit easier. But you're right. In theory, he can get what he wants done, but it ain't going to be easy.
So other than higher taxes, and that's likely, it's just a matter of what it'll look like, what else do you see happening now that the Democrats have a real firm hold on Springfield?
Well, I think that the progressive wing of the party, which has been dominant lately, certainly has a long wish list of things it wants. It wants a higher minimum wage. It wants permission to impose rent control in Chicago. Pritzker has said nice things about both of those, at least so far, but they both have business complications. If you go too far, a state that has been slow to create new jobs and attract people could be even slower, which would not be good for Pritzker and Democrats in the next election cycle. So on some of those things, I can't tell you which one, but on some of those, I think that there'll be a little bit of negotiation, too, and he'll be under some pressure by his part of his supporters to go fast, and another part of his brain will say, well, let's slow this up a little bit and see if we can defer this and not try to squeeze too many golden eggs out of the goose.
Greg, what did Rauner not do that would have allowed him to have a second term as governor?
I think his big failure is he didn't convince us that the second term was going to be any different than the first term. I mean, the first term was a disaster. They sat around and threw rocks at each other for 2 years. We went better than 2 years without a budget. It had great harm to the state's economy. I mean, ask any kid who was going to go to college what it was like to not know if you could get your course or your scholarship or your grant or whatever. And lots of kids just gave up and decided to go to school somewhere else. Rauner had to make the argument that, well, I still believe in the stuff I believe in, but it won't be that bad in the next term. And I don't think he ever made a convincing case. I mean, he tried to read some stuff, but it just didn't stuck in. And I think Pritzker was far more effective in saying, hey, this guy's failed. He's going to fail again. Let's try something new.
All right. Greg, always nice to talk with you. Thanks for joining us. Greg Hines, columnist at Crain's Chicago Business. Still ahead, Personal Finance Wednesday, easy ways to quickly improve your credit score.
WBBM News Time, 12:25, a check of the markets from Bloomberg, sponsored by Grandview Homes. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, the big gains today between 1.5% and more than 2% for the main averages are pushing those benchmarks above some key milestones. So the Dow up 387 points, now at 26,022. The NASDAQ up 158 points, is above 7,500. The S&P advancing 45 points, or 1.75%, is at 2,800. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is gaining almost 1.5%. Now, crude futures continue to slide, down more than 5% here in November at $61.90 a barrel. Now let's turn to Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Lisa. Grain markets are soft as we go through the noon hour. No major fallout from election results for the grain complex thus far. The next market maker will be Thursday morning's weekly export sales report, followed by the monthly supply-demand report, which is expected to show slightly smaller yield prospects, but no big demand prospects. December corn down 1 to 1.5 cents a bushel, soybeans 4 to 5 cents lower, and the wheat market's mixed. This is Kurt Kimmel, Bates Commodities Normal.
Thank you, Kurt. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets are higher today, including shares of marijuana-related companies. We'll see what's powering Wall Street.
Personal Finance Wednesday, strategies to make sure your credit score is as high as it can be.
Facebook says Russian trolls tried to influence the vote in the final days before the election.
J.B. Pritzker greets voters in the South Loop one day after being chosen governor of Illinois.
President Trump spars with reporters during a White House news conference. A special report from CBS News is next.
Wall Street, the Dow Industrials up 395 points, the NASDAQ up 158, S&P 500 up by 45.
Lots of clouds in Chicagoland, little pockets of sunshine as we head to a high of 44 degrees. Right now, 38 in Chicagoland, WBBM News Time, 12:31.
CBS News Special Report, President Trump looking for pluses after Republican losses in the midterm elections.
It was a big day yesterday, an incredible day. And last night, the Republican Party defied history to expand our Senate majority.
As for the loss of House leadership,
of the 11 candidates we campaigned with during the last week, 9 won.
And the president does expect Democrats to launch a series of investigations now that they have the House leadership.
They can look at us, then we can look at them. And it'll go back and forth, and it'll probably be very good for me politically. I could see it being extremely good politically, because I think I'm better at that game than they are, actually.
Will there be any bipartisanship?
The Democrats will come to us with a plan for infrastructure, a plan for health care, a plan for whatever they are looking at, and we'll negotiate.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jim Shenevy.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, the markets are gaining ground today. The vote in Michigan to legalize recreational use of marijuana is boosting pot stocks, so that's part of it. We're joined by Matt Shapiro, president of MWS Capital here in Chicago. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. The Dow Industrials are up by 400 points right now. Matt, why the celebration?
Well, I mean, it was thanks for having me on the big days for the market, Chris. What I explain to my investors is that when the market faces uncertainty, once it clears, it's sort of discounted. There's a natural 2% up when, you know, some of the clouds just lift. So we had, in a sense, the perfect outcome for the market last night. Everyone got a little something. The Democrats got the House. The Republicans were able to expand their Senate majority. So it was just something that worked for everybody, and the markets loved it, and they're just not looking back right now.
And let's talk about the trend on Wall Street with a vote in Michigan to legalize recreational use of marijuana. Tell us about the growth of the pot stocks and on the markets.
Well, it's taken over the country, and Canopy Growth, which is the leading cultivating stock in Canada, has a major investment in Constellation Brands. It's an $8 billion company. We own quite a bit, and there was a big pullback in the marijuana stocks during the correction, and we bought some of it, again, in the low 30s, you know, for clients that really like this trend. And, you know, it's now 40. Tilray is up. It was a big night for marijuana. People forget J.B. Pritzker, his platform is legalization of marijuana in Illinois. And when you think about the opioid abuse epidemic that marijuana, especially as these companies have highly complex cultivations that can be used for medicinal purposes with precise doses, definitely, you know, treating pain, especially. There's a huge market for it. And, you know, you see the stocks responding accordingly. Now, of course, out there, those valuations are eye-popping. So, you know, for instance, this stock in Canada, Canopy Growth, you know, at the end of the day, they're just going to have to get this stuff out the door. The marijuana is very expensive. Prices are strong. So we'll see what happens. It's definitely a long-term growth kind of sector for people that kind of like that theme.
And really a challenge to figure out in the long run which of those companies are going to be the real winners and which ones maybe aren't going to make it. It's still so early in that sector.
Right, Cisco. But we've been right on our theory about the marijuana stocks, is that the first movers, the ones that got the award of the market valuation that could buy their competitors like Tilray, like Canopy Growth, are the ones that you really just, you know, have to put your chips behind and see what happens.
The president had a press conference this morning, contentious with some reporters, but several points. He talked about some bipartisanship, some cooperation, maybe especially on things like infrastructure, drug prices, health care. And I watched the Dow after his press conference. It went up about another 100 points. Does Wall Street like that talk of bipartisanship?
I think that is going to be a fantastic change. I think all of us are so jaded that we really don't believe it. But, you know, Caterpillar up 3%. I mean, these are big moves in these stocks. These were the stocks that were completely destroyed during the correction. And, you know, you just had to sort of reflexively buy, realize that the earnings were really strong, and here we are. You know, maybe there's some sort of infrastructure deal. If the Democrats and the Republicans believe that it's in their best interest running up to the 2020 election, maybe it can happen. You know, it's a little bit of a factor. Who knows? I think we're all skeptical at the same time.
What are you staying away from right now from investing in?
Well, I think the correction definitely shook out some things, and the stocks that were just dead and gone, you know, those unfortunate situations like the General Electrics, the IBMs, you know, the companies that just couldn't manage through, of course, the dramatic change that the internet has brought, were the ones that are just going to get left behind. So I think if you look through your portfolios, now's a good day. We've kind of really come back a lot. If there's something you said, you know what, I was hoping to kind of freshen things up, maybe get out of it, sell something today that you want to move on from, something else, you know, just really just hasn't responded like your other stocks that have done a lot better.
Matt Shapiro, always appreciate you being on the show. Matt is president of MWS Capital here in Chicago. Ahead, Personal Finance Wednesday, ways to maximize your credit rating.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday, sponsored by Geiger Wealth. Today we're looking at credit scores and strategies to make sure you're getting the best one possible. We welcome Liz Weston, columnist for NerdWallet, author of the books Your Credit Score, the fifth edition, and Deal With Your Debt, based in Los Angeles. Liz, before we get into some of the specifics that people, you know, things that they can do, just say a word to people who maybe aren't even trying to fix their credit anymore. They're just frustrated. They think that there's really no way to fix it.
Yeah, I know a lot of people really feel like credit is something that's just an albatross around their neck. But in reality, credit scores are very movable. You can change them. With responsible use of credit, you can get yours up. And it makes such a difference in your life. It's not just getting, you know, less expensive loans or just being able to qualify for a loan. You get better cell phone deals. You get better smaller utility deposits. You can get better apartments because landlords use them. And, of course, employers are looking at your credit file, not your credit history, but that still could be a factor in getting a job. So paying attention to your credit is really important.
Talk about the importance of looking at that credit report and seeing if there might be mistakes on it.
Yeah, I'd like to see everybody monitoring at least one credit score. There are many different scores, but if you have a credit score that you're looking at least once a month, you can kind of see the changes. But you also need to see the underlying credit reports. You have credit reports at each of the three major bureaus. And you can check to make sure that, you know, there's information on there that's correct, that there aren't accounts that aren't yours or something showing as late when you paid on time. You can go to annualcreditreport.com and get a look at all three of your credit reports once a year for free.
Are there credible authorities who can help you, guide you through this?
Well, there's lots of great information online. I work for a site called NerdWallet. We have tons of information about, you know, your credit scores and how they work. You can hire people to help you with this, but there's a lot of scam artists out there. So tread very, very carefully if you do that.
Yeah, that would be on top of everything else, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's you really don't need to have someone step in and do this for you. This really is a DIY kind of thing. You just need to get your credit reports. If there's incorrect information on there, you start disputing that. And generally, it's just using credit responsibly that will get your scores up. That means maybe getting a secured credit card, which is a card that, you know, you get a credit line that's the same amount as a deposit you make with the issuing bank. There are credit builder loans you can get from your credit unions that can help you build credit over time. And these things, you know, within a year or two can really establish you with pretty good scores.
They start a lot of times when a child goes off to college. That's the first card, right?
Well, right now, because of the 2009 Credit Card Act, it's supposed to be there's supposed to be restrictions on people under 21 getting credit cards. But a lot of families do set their kid up with a credit card when they go off to school. I would like to see people doing that actually a little bit earlier, so that the kid is still under your roof, you know, while this is happening, so that you can supervise.
And what's your advice on whether that credit card should be attached to you, the parent, possibly messing up your credit?
Well, if you are the primary person, the primary party, you'll be the one paying the bills, and then you add the kid on as an authorized user. That's what I meant by, you know, having them under your roof, having them under your authority. And that way you still have some control over the bill getting paid, that kind of thing. What you don't want is to, you know, sign up with a card with your kid and then have the kid go off and be responsible for payment, because you have no idea what's going to happen. You definitely don't want to do that.
Oh, they'll be totally responsible with it. Come on, come on. Teenagers?
Like I've lived in this dream.
Liz, always appreciate you being with us. Thanks. Liz Weston, a columnist for NerdWallet, joining us on Personal Finance Wednesday. This time tomorrow, Technology Thursday, how China is taking a high-tech approach to dig into the private lives of citizens. Still to come, Facebook says it prevented outside interference in yesterday's election.
Because money matters, this is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Facebook is talking about its efforts to prevent influence by Russia and other outside forces on the U.S. midterm elections. Let's get the latest from Sarah Fryer, technology reporter at Bloomberg News in San Francisco. Welcome to our program, Sarah. Is there indications that there has, in fact, been wrongdoing?
So Facebook has been trying to ramp up its resources to look into this for the last year or so after pressure from the government. Just last night, the company said it deleted a bunch of accounts after a tip from U.S. authorities on Sunday that they may have been related to Russia's Internet Research Agency. So the Internet Research Agency is the Russian troll farm that did run a campaign to influence the 2016 election. So apparently, according to Facebook, there's evidence that they may still be active.
So they haven't been able to stop it up till now.
Right. And they not only have they not been able to stop it, they've seen other campaigns, some from Iran, some domestic, that have sought to use fake accounts on Facebook and also on Instagram to try to influence voters with misinformation, not necessarily just about candidates, but about political issues that get people riled up.
Now, are they having a tough time? Because I would imagine the people doing this are able to evolve and morph and constantly try new strategies.
Yeah, I mean, despite the investment, the bad actors are always going to stay a step ahead. And we're going to see this become an issue for Facebook the way we've seen companies have to deal with things like spam and hacking. You know, there's always another way to do it. And so they're going to have to not only solve from the way it happened in 2016 happening again, but to try to anticipate the ways that it might happen in the future. And we're already starting to see some evolution of how misinformation spreads on Facebook. The company's efforts in fact-checking have helped a little bit to stem the flow of fake news websites that spread information on Facebook. But now misinformation is thriving in places that are more undercover, like secret Facebook groups and on encrypted apps like WhatsApp.
Sarah Fryer, thanks for being with us. Sarah is a technology reporter at Bloomberg, based in San Francisco. Past programs, later today, a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app. Bloomberg checks the markets next.
WBBM News Time, 12:55, and we're going to take a look at business news sponsored by Baird. Here is Elisa Peretti.
Well, Chris, we have big gains across the board. The Dow is higher by 352 points, or 1.33%, and the benchmark's just under 26K. NASDAQ up almost 2%, or 140 points, and the S&P on the rise by 39. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg gaining 1.25%. Election Day brought surprises, as it always does, but none that matter to Wall Street. The House is getting its expected Democratic majority. The Senate is keeping its GOP advantage. And Wall Street has historically liked political gridlock, historically and now. And the outcome was largely what investors expected. United Airlines plans to operate most of its long-distance international routes with one less flight attendant. That's according to a memo from an executive. The change is expected to take effect in February, and it's a bid to keep costs in line with those of its U.S. rivals. Warm weather kept the air conditioners humming all across the U.S. this summer, boosting third-quarter profit for lots of power companies. But warmer temperatures can also bring extreme weather in the form of more powerful storms, and that they inflict costly damage on power lines and other infrastructure. So that's kind of the flip side of that coin. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.